Oh, welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. This satsang, this radio program, is for Sunday, October the 18th, 2015. I'm very grateful you chose to be with us. I'm very grateful for the questions I've been given by people who have listened to these programs and conjured up questions that are on their mind. I think it's very kind of them, very generous. And I want to thank my sponsors who make these radio programs possible. If you are enjoying this radio program, if you are enjoying what I am offering here and finding maybe some insight through it, maybe it's time for you to become a sponsor and help us. Everybody's a taker, taker, taker. Yes, no one will know that you're taking and yada-da, yada-da, but you will know. And maybe it would be kind and loving for you to make either a donation for our year-end that will be matched by our donor, or become a sponsor, which will also be matched by our sponsor, and really help us to sustain this program. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that we are able to offer these programs, TV, radio, this website, everything that serves you. And I hope that you will be kind and loving and generous enough to help us. We're going to talk about religion today. I chose three questions that were sent to me about 2 months ago. And they are interesting questions, and I batched them together into a subject matter that I think is interesting about religion. I looked up the word religion in the dictionary, and it says it is a general set of beliefs about existence. How about that? And then it goes on to, you know, the rigors of it and what religion really is all about, in the sense of who believes in what. And there are all these different religions from all over the world, and they pummel humanity. It is my feeling that religion has, of course, mixed with politics. And when you get the two together, you can make religion really powerful and politics even more powerful. So you put the two together and you find a coalition that really works to get the masses who, you know what the word is, the masses who are asses, to believe in anything that is right. And you can get people to feel very self-righteous about the world, themselves, and everything else when you and I get involved in religion and politics. And they are the pedestrian mentality's answer to everything. And it truly is stupid and weak. But let's get into it a little bit. These three questions were the best out of a bunch that I had, and I hope that they in some way help you. First one is from Carrie in Los Angeles, and he listens to, of course, our satsangs here on the website. Why is Jesus the center of Christian religion? There were many other mystics, but only Jesus gets credit. Why do you think? Carrie, there are many others, I am sure, that had awakenings, that taught beautiful truths. Lhasa from the Tao Te Ching. You have Buddha and his beautiful teachings. And then you have Jesus and his magnificent teachings. But the object of the game is to manipulate the masses. It isn't about the quality of the teachings, Carrie. I remember the first time I ever stood up before an audience and I combined the teachings of Gautama Buddha with Jesus and I showed the parallels of what they were teaching. There were people who I was speaking to at that time that just went berserk. Nuttier than fruitcakes. There is only Jesus, and you only talk about Jesus. The Buddha thing is when you go to a restaurant and order a Mai Tai. And that's the way they thought of it. They couldn't go any further than that. Sad to say, and say to be sad, that's the way the pedestrian mentality goes. I'll tell you why, Carrie. Any religious figure has to be useful for political reasons and social reasons. And Jesus, his life was just full of drama. Here he is, this dude from Nazareth, and as the biblical saying goes, when the two disciples were talking about Jesus, nothing good ever came out of Nazareth. So here we go with this whole deal of Jesus. He is controversial. He doesn't buck the system, yet he points to the system and what it's doing to people. He rendered unto Caesar the things that were Caesar's, and unto God the things that were God's. And yet he talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees as open graves that men walk over and fall into. He was quite controversial. And the powers that be did not like him very much at all. So it made him a perfect patsy for whatever they wanted to do with him. Now, they were, first of all, the plan was, look, he is an immaculate conception. Now, that separates him from everything. Religion loves that. Religion is about being sectarian. Religion is about segregation. It is a prejudice. This religion is better than that religion. This religion is the true religion. This religion will save you. That one won't. I mean, which one do you go to, a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Mormon? Where do you go? Well, you go to the one that's got the biggest church and the biggest steeples. Well, look, May, look at them steeples. They're pretty big, and you know, that must mean they know more. They must be the church of God and all this stuff that people love to see, because there is no common sense in people. I'm doing a class, Carrie, right now with my students in meditation class. And we're working on looking at the years of our life, you know, starting from 1 to 7, and then from 7 to 12, and from 12 to 21, and, you know, on and on. And what was going on in those periods of time in my students? Not one of them in their early years at all had any inclination for anything spiritual. They were all raised in the typical 50s, 60s manner of going to church and being religious. So religion was the general set of beliefs that a person could grasp mentally and emotionally that explained our existence. But it really doesn't. It doesn't. Not at all. Physics will. Science might a little bit, but still, it ain't it. Jesus, Buddha, Lao Tzu explained the whole enchilada to us. And yet we can't hear them. So Jesus was someone you could be selective with. You take a few of the things he said here, love thy neighbor as thyself, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You can turn them into morals. People need morals. Otherwise, they have no common sense. They have no intuitiveness, as it were. They can't intuit love. They can't intuit kindness. Tell me when I'm supposed to be kind. Tell me when I'm supposed to be vengeful. Tell me when I'm supposed to get this. Tell me when I'm supposed to get... We're Neanderthals. And all we want is what we want. And we want a reason to be violent. And we want a reason not to be violent. And if religion can appeal to our sensibilities in that way, then we're fine. You know, we can think, say, and do anything we want. And that's the way we live our life. It's sad, but true. Jesus is the center of Christianity because he lived such a dramatic life. And then his death. Oh, that is the drama that people love. He was sentenced to death for no good reason. Yes. And then the myth that he rose from the dead. Blah. Yeah. Yeah, that works. We killed him for all the wrong reasons, and it wasn't fair. And then he resurrects, and we think that's pretty cool. We think, wow, he did that. He did that. And then we're told by people like the Pope and your religious leaders, you know, your minister, your whatever you go to, your priests, and he died for your sins. Your sins. Now you can feel guilty. And once you attach any kind of emotionality to something, then you've got the people by the huevos rancheros, and they'll do whatever you say. There's one key ingredient in Jesus that makes him so interesting to people, and that is that he died for you, and you actually buy into this because you know what a sinner you are. You know what a crumb bum you really are. You know you are. And so you feel bad about being a crumb bum, and this guy had to die for you. And you buy into it because it's emotionally appealing. And it works with congregating your emotions in certain ways to create guilt and shame. So he's very useful. And you can use him politically and socially and economically. You can use him at all sorts of different levels and get by with it and, you know, cash in. Just cash in on the whole thing. So you can build churches and monuments and all sorts of things. People go, ooh, the pedestrian mentality loves this kind of garbage. And that's what it's all about. Jesus is very useful. Can't do that much with the Buddha, because Buddha didn't die that way. And you can't do anything with Lao Tzu, because we don't know enough about him. So you can only mess with Jesus, and he's the easiest one to mess with. That's why. It's really that simple, Carrie. Manipulation is huge, and the masses love it. They'll pay money for it. They'll go to movies about it. They'll do anything just to... Will you ever forget that movie that was... I mean, really. The one where Jesus gets beat up. Who did that? I forget. He gets the hell kicked out of him. And people love to go and see that. The Passion of Christ. Yeah, that's bad. Oh, my God. Enough of that. Carrie, I hope that helps you. And I hope you don't participate in that too much. It's not a healthy thing. Please forgive me. Namaste. Jesus, the Patsy, the Lee Harvey Oswald of the first one. They really used him. Next one comes from Lisa. Shouldn't tell me where she listens to us from. I listen to you all the time. I just had this question. Was Jesus our potential? If he was, then how can he be when he was born of an immaculate conception? Do you believe in that, Lisa? Lisa, I mean, personally, no, of course not. Of course not. No, not even near that. You got to have all these signs and wonders and craziness, as Jesus talked about, even in his own life. He never talked about his birth. He never said he was of an immaculate conception, and he told us everything. No, you asked me, was Jesus our potential? Yes. There is something very beautiful about this man. He was the Christ housed in a human form called Jesus. And the way he lived within it and the way he operated from it was very, very fascinating to me. He was not a perfect man like you'd like to believe he was. He had to poop and pee and eat just like anyone else. And he said some outrageous things. And his humanity ached just like our humanity aches. I mean, just in the Garden of Gethsemane when he wanted support from his disciples to be with him before he was about to be slaughtered in such an ugly way, in such a cruel manner. I mean, just saying, come and support me, just be with me, hang out with me. And they couldn't do it. They slept and they didn't do. The disciples were a bust, as is humanity. We don't get it. We don't want to get it, and it doesn't matter to us. What we want and what matters to us is what we can get and have and hold and believe in and all that other stuff. So it all has to be in some way the genocide of our emotionality. That works for us, but the rest doesn't. Yes, as a man, he was just like you and me as a human being. But the potential of a Jesus, the potential of what he was all about, the beauty of what he was all about is something very unique. And that is our potential. He said, these works shall ye do, and greater works than these shall ye do. So he was not confining life and people and stuff to just him. Now, if you're going to sell a religion, which it is a sell job, you got to sell it. It's a something you market. It's a commodity that you can't see. It's a tough one, but you know, there's something good about marketing him because you can't prove anything. Everything that I'm saying to you right now, Lisa, could be disproved by someone who was a believer. Oh no, Jesus said this, and this is what he meant, and Greg doesn't know. And you know, I've heard it all. I have sat in seminary listening to people debate, noted Bible scholars debate over this, that, and the other. And it's just ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous because it isn't about righteousness and right. It truly isn't. The potential that Jesus holds is how the divine lives and is squandered, basically, through the human, and how we would choose the human over the divine any day. How we would give to our family, but never give to love. How we want love from the family, and we don't want to know love from within ourselves. We are self-righteous in our religion. And our religiosity is based in the premise of self-righteousness. And that's all it's about. So everybody manipulates Jesus, his words, his teachings, to fit their economics. So if you say the right things about Jesus, you get a donation. If you don't say the right things about Jesus, you don't get the donations, like me. If you are a part of a bigger political organization that believes in Christian, that word holds a lot of power for people. They think, well, if you're Christian, you're right, and then you're good, and you don't have to think for yourself. They're Christian. Remember Jerry Falwell? Christian. What a trip. And then there was Swaggart and PTL and all this stuff. And it's all about the whole idea of self-righteousness and using Jesus. I mean, people who wear a cross really, really are interesting to me. I always ask, why are you wearing that? Well, it means I'm a Christian. I often ask them, do you think Jesus wants to be known for the day that he was tortured to death on a cross? You think that's going to be, shall we say, the mark of Christianity? The mark of what he wants to be remembered by? The human cruelty? And they look at me and they go, but he resurrected. I said, well, if that's so, how come you don't have a symbol around your neck about that? They don't make them, Greg. Oh. So we're good at making symbols about death and cruelty, but we're not very good at making symbols about life and love. Why not just wear no thing? Why not something that is maybe about meditation or about love, a deep love, not personal love. You're the love that lives within. No, 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 not that. There is no symbol for that, people will tell me. Okay, okay. That's the way it is. Lisa, we like our messiahs. We like our heroes to get beat up and die and then come back and kick ass. And that's what it's all about. We live out vengeance, pride, and the gravitas of our indulgent stupidity. So there you are. That's, you asked the question. Lisa, this was a good question, and I'm grateful for it. Please forgive me. Please, namaste. The last one comes from James. He does not tell me where he listens. What did Jesus mean when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light? He wasn't talking about his personage. James, he really wasn't. He wasn't saying, I, the man. Jesus was speaking from the Christ. You have to understand, and it is very difficult for the average person to get this. We are many different people. And when Jesus was speaking, he was speaking from the nature of the Christ that lived within him, that which was awakened. And it was coming through the human being. It was a message. It was not to be taken literally. But because Jesus always spoke when he was teaching in metaphoric ways, and our minds are literal because we don't think metaphorically, it has come to this, that anything he said becomes religious belief about our existence and hence becomes religion. And this is why we have so much difficulty in our lives. We live off this, we live as this, and we miss the moment, the meaning, the substance, the essence of it all. Jesus didn't mean I, the ego, and the way, the truth, and the light, like you and I would say. He was relating to people in gentle ways. He was saying, trust me. What I'm saying to you is the way, the truth, and the light. And no man can come to God other than through me. And he was right. Not through the man, but through the nature of spirituality, the nature of the Christ that lives in you and me and all around us, whether you call it Christ or Buddha nature or oneness or source, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I know what he meant. You must know what he means. You can't get involved in stupidity. If you get involved in that kind of stupidity, where you take it all literally, you're going to miss the meaning of everything. And you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss the meaning of kindness and love and truth and beauty. You just don't want to do it. So, the way, the truth, and the light, this is it. Am I going to live the way, the truth, and the light? Well, if I am, I'm going to have to discover that which lives within me that is greater than the beliefs I have about what lives within me. Go for the direct experience, James. You are the way, the truth, and the light. It lives within you, not as a human, but as a spiritual being. This is the hardest thing to get across to people because it's easier to worship someone who's achieved this than to seek to achieve it yourself. Because it's messy to achieve it for yourself. It is just messy. And people don't want to do that. They want the way they want it to be. They want life to be the way they want it to be. So they want someone else to do it. You do it. And then, you know, take me in your coattails. That's why it's easy to say, you know, I believe in Jesus. But really, what good does that do you? You and I are here not to emulate his humanity, but to emulate and come from the source that he came from. We are here to find that which loves us, to find what I call the life of my living and the living of my life. And the life is love. The life is regenerative. The life is beauty. The life is intelligence, spiritual intelligence. This can't happen when we're all emotional. And because all of us dip down into our emotionality and live from that emotionality, we cause ourselves a great deal of pain and suffering. I hope that helps you. I really do. There's so many quotes on all of this that you can get involved in, but what good would that do you? Quotes don't mean anything. Love is everything. So don't go by the quotes and all of that. Find it within you. The kingdom of heaven, he said over and over, lives within you. Not lo here, lo there, but behold, the kingdom of heaven lives within you. Find it. Work upon it. It is so beautiful. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I could be of service to you in, at the top of the page you will see contact. Just click on it. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Have a beautiful weekend. And again, of course, please forgive me. Namaste.